Welcome to the podcast. I'd be your host, Matt Smith, and with me today is comedian Rod Quantock. Thanks for joining me, Rod.
Great pleasure, Matt.
Now, you're playing here at the lovely venue of the Trades Hall, and you've got a show this year, which is called... Are You Stupid?
No, it's called The Insane Asylum.
Okay.
But the question that's posed in the show is, are people stupid? The answer's yes. Okay, just in case the listeners were wondering.
So why are people stupid, and why is it called The Insane Asylum? I assume The Insane Asylum would essentially be the world, wouldn't it?
Well, it is. Well, it's the first world. I'm deeply concerned about resource depletion. I'm terrified of climate change and what it will mean. Probably towards the end of my life it will begin to have an impact, possibly not here in Australia, but the suffering of others will become very apparent. That's all I talk about now. I haven't done autobiographical comedy for a long time, but I can't be bothered with Abbott and Gillard and all the nonsense that goes on there. Politics is of no use in the world that's coming. It has no solutions, and its timing is so snail-paced slow that by the time they do get around to doing anything, it'll be too late. In fact, it was too late 10 years ago, and it's much too late now. So, and I just think that particularly people in the first world now are so seduced by having things, by the idea of consumption. Neil Postman's book called Entertaining Ourselves to Death is exactly what we're doing.
Mm.
And there is so much trivia that infects people's life. The idea of retail therapy I find almost a deeply, deeply offensive concept. We unquestioningly live in a world that is going to eat itself, and we preside over that without ever asking. And we take the word of people who don't do their research, who are funded by the world of consumption to convince us that everything's going to stay the same. And if people can't work out something like the fact that oil is a finite resource, or as I point out in the show, lithium and potassium and all these trace elements that make our mobile phones work and that add to our agricultural output, all of these things are grinding to a halt. And part of it's people, but most of it's to do with the overconsumption of the first world and the idea that there are now more obese people in the world than there are undernourished people in the world is just a weird comic obscenity.
But it's even down to things that we're running out of water and food, not just oil.
Well, that's one of the concepts. I mean, oil is everything. The food will stop when the trucks stop. The food will stop when the superphosphate's no longer produced. The food will stop when you can't drive your tractor. So getting food into the city the size of Melbourne and having people say Melbourne should have 8 million people in it, not 4.5, it's impossible. And to get those 8 million people in, we're building on our prime agricultural land close to the cities. So it's everything about it's mad. I mean, it's just counterintuitive, it's unreasonable, it's irrational. And at the end of 10,000 years of civilization, it's a great shame that humanity should come to such a screaming, thudding halt, and the great experiment of civilization is over.
Now, it's...
Is that grim?
It's very heavy for comedy, but I'm sure I'm not the first person to say that. I do have to ask, though, the people that are going to your show, I imagine that you're preaching to the choir a bit.
Well, I don't think most... But even people who come to my show don't really understand the consequences
of peak oil.
There's
a lot to comprehend, yeah.
Well, peak oil, I mean, I spent the last 3 or 4 years just talking about climate change because I thought climate change needed me at my level to say something about it. I mean, I'm a drop in the ocean and a minor player in any public debate, but at least I thought I could inform the people who came sufficiently for them to go and play a part in it. Once they left the show. But more and more I can see that peak oil is the thing that's going to hit before climate change hits. And peak oil is going to completely undermine what little capacity we have to adjust to climate change. We can't stop climate change and we can't slow it, but there's a possibility of making some people immune to the worst excesses of it. But we are going to lose, I don't know, we're going to lose over 8 billion people by the end of the century. I mean, at one level, that's really horrifying, but I just find that cosmically really funny. it's a Greek tragedy with a comic element. I mean, it's just hubris.
So the solution that you've come up with, in some ways, you aren't doing this show to come up with a solution.
I can't see a solution.
But if we did get rid of the stupid people, as you call them, say if we plan, I don't know, an Australian Idol audition somewhere dangerous, hopefully pick a few of them off that way, then that would
Christchurch.
In Christchurch.
Well, there's an American, I can't remember his name now, who is advocating some sort of mass sterilisation, having a lottery for about 350,000 people out of the 7 billion now to have children. And, I mean, that's at the extreme end of a solution.
Mm.
But we won't cut back our consumption, we won't stop burning oil until we've burnt the last drop, and we won't stop burning the coal until we can't breathe. And population reduction seems to be the only way, and it will happen. I mean, if you don't plan it, it's going to happen as a consequence of droughts and famines and fires and floods. It's just, you know, I look at the nuclear meltdown in Japan and think, well, they're just the things that happen outside these other things that are going to happen as well. So if you add the things you can't avoid to the things you might have avoided, it's just a disaster. And my answer really doesn't lie in anything rational or reasonable, and I can't even think of where I would build a bunker. I can't think of anywhere I could retreat, but I don't care about me, but I care about my children and their friends and their cousins and all of those people. But I can't tell my children what to do. And in the end, the Nembutal tablets that I hand out at the end of the show are probably the most precious thing you'll ever be given.
So on another note, I did want to ask you a bit about your other show, which is the Comedy Festival Tour.
Oh, The Walking Tour, yes.
The Walking Tour.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about that? Is 25 years a significant milestone?
Look, it is. I did them last year, starting at the Flying Trapeze, the old Flying Trapeze Cafe in Brunswick Street. That's the seed of everything that you see at the Comedy Festival now. It began in that tiny little place. And so I could walk from there to the Comedy Cafe to the Last Laugh. And they were the three significant venues that projected people like Wendy Harmer and Richard Stubbs and all sorts of people. Circus Oz had some formative beginnings at the Last Laugh. This tour is more, I don't know why the Comedy Festival offered it to me and said they'd pay me to start at the Town Hall and end up at the 25th anniversary exhibition. So there's nothing of the history of comedy in the walk. To go from the Town Hall to the Arts Centre is not really encompassing much of the history of the Comedy Festival. It'll just be a carbon neutral version of my bus trip.
A bit of the highlights of Melbourne between the
Town Hall. Yeah, those things are always about interacting with the things and the people that are along the way.
Yep, yep.
So, and yeah, look, in the end, I hope it'll be entertaining and fun, and people can ask me questions about the history on the way.
Your show is on at the Trades Hall. It's called The Insane Asylum, and it's on till the end of the festival.
Yeah. Okay. 7:15 Tuesday to Saturday and 6:15 on Sunday through to the end.
Okay. Rod Quantock, thanks for your time today.
Great pleasure, Matt. Thank you.